Sunday the 29th of October 2017, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, Rivers of Love. Sermon title, Finding Our Way. Bible reading, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, and then 14 to 17. And the talk is by Darrell Williams.
The Bible reading this morning is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, followed by verses 14 to 17. Crossing the Jordan. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabath, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. This is the word of the Lord.
Lovely. Okay. On April 17th, 2015, what is believed to be the oldest message in a bottle was discovered more than 108 years later. The bottle was discovered on a beach in Amrum, Germany, and it's believed the bottle had been released into the North Sea sometime between 1904 and 1906 as part of marine research looking into ocean currents. Inside the bottle was a postcard asking the bottle be sent to the Marine Biological Association of the United Kingdom, and the person who returns the bottle would be given a 1 shilling reward. An old English shilling was sent to the lady who had found the bottle while she was on holiday to the German island, which is around 310 miles away from the UK mainland. The Guinness Book of Records recognised the discovery as the oldest message in a bottle, beating out of the previous record of 99 years and 43 days, which had been discovered west of the Shetland Isles in July 2013. Who would have imagined, when the bottle was released, that it would survive floating around in the sea for over 100 years? In its epic journey, it floated hundreds of miles before finally being washed ashore. According to the Marine Association in Plymouth, it was one of around 1,000 such bottles to have been released into the ocean. It does raise the question, what happened to the rest of the bottles? The news report does not give mention if any of the others were ever returned. Also, could it potentially mean that out there somewhere there's still other bottles floating around? Today's Bible reading is part of the series Rivers of Love, and today's theme is Finding Your Way. Like that bottle first released into the ocean, we can sometimes set out on journeys or find ourselves in situations where we are unsure of the destination or when or how the situation we're facing may end. Life can be full of uncertainties. The scientist who released the bottles had no idea that someday his experiment would make it into the Guinness Book of Records. But he must have had some faith that at least some of his bottles would find their way ashore, that they would be found and that they would be returned. We need to have faith in God that no matter what the situation or circumstances we find ourselves facing, God has a plan and that God will direct us in the right path. One of my favourite passages from the Bible is from Proverbs. And you may recognise this as partly being from a church text of the year that we had a couple of years back. Proverbs 3 verses 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, that passage seems relevant to this morning's reading. Israel had been stuck in the wilderness for some years. They'd been punished for disobedience, and the time had now come for new leadership. Moses had prayed for Joshua, and it was now his time to lead the nation. You can imagine the nation probably would have had questions of their new leader. Would things be any different? Did he have a plan? Did he have a vision? Would he lead them out of that wilderness that they had been wandering around in for so very long? You're probably a little tired of hearing the term Brexit and how the European referendum divided opinion across the nation. There are those who are concerned that voting to leave could be a mistake, whilst others believe this was the right decision, both economically and politically. These are uncertain times as the British Prime Minister and European leaders discuss the future. Politicians have openly talked about all sorts of possibilities, including that there could be a no deal at the end of lengthy discussions. Like Moses prayed over Joshua, we need to pray for wisdom for our leaders, that they will make good decisions. I think when we consider our walk with God, praying for wisdom is really important. It is clear when you look throughout the Bible, God wants to bless us and he wants us to prosper. We are ultimately given the freedom to either honour God or to disobey God. And the consequences of going our own way are unlikely to lead to positive results. God is, however, patient, and despite Israel's disobedience, it was time to move on and under new leadership find their way to the promised land. It is, I think, really important that we are intentional about God. Do we look to God for guidance? Do we seek God's wisdom? How healthy is our prayer life? And do we put God at the centre at all times? Something I am guilty of is I find it easy to pray and find space for petitions to God when I hit a crisis. But what about when the times are good? What about when things are going okay? Do I pray enough to give thanks? Do I seek wisdom when things are going well to avoid some of the mistakes that I end up making? Do I seek God's wisdom and encouragement in all situations? God's love is abundant and flows like water. We are incredibly blessed. One of the challenges of preparing a talk is I do not know what situation is going on in people's lives. When I write a talk, the first thing I do is pray that what I write will be relevant. It might be the shortest of prayers, but I ask God every time to give me the words to say. I guess when I prepare a talk, I look at a Bible text and the instinct is to put it into context that might help people who could be going through difficult situations. One thing I do not tend to focus on is, well, what if things are actually going really well? Well, hopefully, for many of you, things are going well, and I hope that is the case. If that is you this morning, that is great. Long may these blessings continue. Just make sure you maintain that healthy prayer life. Make sure you keep that church attendance going and being in the presence of God. He wants us to be in a good place. He wants to bless us. As I was writing this, I started thinking, do I remind people enough of the hope, joy and peace of Christ? If you happen to be going through difficulties, have confidence that God will see you through it, and all storms eventually give way to clear skies. I was thinking about reservoirs. And if we didn't have reservoirs, we'd have nowhere to capture rain or water. When we have an abundance of water, our reservoirs fill up and become full. Through capturing that water, we are still able to sustain most of our water requirements during dry spells. We need to be careful to maintain our spiritual reservoirs. Let me offer you some reassurance. It requires a bit of discipline to get up early on a Sunday morning, to come here to church, to be in fellowship with each other and enjoy God's love. So be reassured, this act this morning is one way of keeping that reservoir topped up. Our faith perhaps can feel a little like the seasons of the year. We are moving into winter and clocks have gone back. It gets darker earlier and the heating starts going on. However, after winter, it'll be spring again, and then will come the joys of summer. Then, of course, some of you may have planned a winter escape to somewhere nice and warm for a couple of weeks. If that is you, I hope you have a great time, and I am, of course, in no way jealous, because that would not be very Christian. When we look back at this morning's passage, it gives reference to the Ark of the Covenant. This was an important sign of God's presence amongst the nation of Israel. God is with us and he guides us. The nation was given clear instructions to follow, but it required faith to do so. Try and imagine the priest's reaction when they are guided to a river that is described as being in flood during the harvest. They could have taken the view that the way ahead was blocked. They could have complained to Joshua. They could have demanded they turn around. They could have demanded they headed in a different direction. Joshua, however, in his leadership, told the nation to expect amazing things to happen. He told them to consecrate themselves to be holy, as God is holy. In faith, they prepared themselves for the journey, and in faith followed God's instructions, and in faith expected something special to happen. The priests walked right up to the river to the point where their feet touched the water's edge. It is not until that very moment that the water from upstream is described as stopping flowing, and they were able to cross. It can be difficult sometimes to trust God, especially in difficult situations. In the last couple of weeks, I've faced a massive storm and I've been under a huge amount of stress and pressure. The circumstances of this is probably something for me to approach on another time. Well, I'm blessed that I had brothers here at church who gave me good support and advice, that fellowship just being so important. And in them conversations, I was reminded to keep showing God's love, grace and mercy throughout each and every situation I was going through. I reached the weekend very tired and managed to sleep the entire morning. Normally I'm a very slow and methodical individual when it comes to writing. I can spend at least a full day writing, sometimes more. I knew that I would not have that amount of time to prepare for today. But if you keep faith with God, he'll provide you the tools you need. It is amazing how the smallest little obstacles can just start getting out the way. As I got out of bed, I kept thinking, I need to find a suit because I have an interview next week and I need to get it dry cleaned. That was going to be a trip around the corner. It was going to eat into my time that little bit more. And on a row in the corner of my room, there's a bag hanging up, an M&S bag, and I'm slightly puzzled. And I put it down. And I completely forgot. I bought a brand new suit for a friend's wedding last year. It's only been worn once. Everything's hung up nicely, neatly. It's all pressed. I didn't have to do anything. Just one little issue had just suddenly gone away. It may sound like a small thing, a coincidence perhaps, but it was one less thing to worry about. I started preparing for my talk late afternoon, which again puts me under a lot of pressure. And I'm reminded the clocks go back an hour for my family. An extra hour I did not have. Maybe a small thing, maybe a coincidence perhaps. But it was this week I was asked to give a talk. And that little hour gave me that little bit of extra help. Then, as I prayed, I was really struggling. And I started to contemplate whether I may even phone Martin and say, I'm not sure I'm going to be able to deliver this morning's talk. Could perhaps Bob, who's preaching at 10:45, tailor his talk and maybe cover for me and explain that I've been through a really difficult situation. And then I looked through, because Martin usually sends out some Bible notes. And he sent the most comprehensive set of notes I think I've probably ever seen for any of my talks. Sometimes we just get bullet points and a little note to say you know what you're doing. It may sound like a small thing, a coincidence perhaps, but I'm not sure I could deliver today's talk without that support. These may sound small, what is so miraculous about getting a suit, forgetting about a suit, about clocks going back. And what is so surprising about a priest writing theological notes? Well, Martin, in his talk on living water from a couple of weeks ago, discussed his experience of delivering school assemblies and how he does not do these in his own power, but that God never fails to turn up. It's amazing when I found myself under difficult pressures that if you hold on to a little bit of faith, somehow those little obstacles just start getting out the way. To finish, I'm going to return to Proverbs 3, but this time I'm going to read verses 5 to 12, and I'm going to use the Message translation, which is a modern-day translation. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try and figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God, run from evil. Your body will glow with health. Your very bones will vibrate with life. Honour God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Your wine vats will brim over. But don't, dear friend, resent God's discipline. Don't sulk under his loving correction. It's the child he loves that God corrects. A father's delight is behind all this. Amen.